You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Get It Right Texoma with Trio. That's Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Serrallo. We're all back here once again. Trey has been out on special assignment for the last couple of weeks.
There you go, yeah. That's what
and,
you call it.
You took a little trip to the other side of the country.
Yeah, I went to the left coast, yes.
Well, yes, and, you did.
Drove the Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to put out a blog, or I'm going to put something out that talks about an eight-day trip. How to do an eight-day trip to down the Pacific Coast Highway. Uh-huh. There's a lot of things you read people, they say, oh, you need 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And actually, one of our listeners from Northern California, Mike from Northern California, who's one of our listeners from the radio days, sent me a book called Pacific Coasting. It really was nice. Mm. And it talks about all the things to do. And there's a lot of things in there. I got a lot of good ideas. But one thing is, if you took that, it would be like a 3 or 4 week trip. Wow. So we're able to do it, and it's right at 2,000 miles. And from, you see Canada at Port Angeles, Washington. And you can't go to Canada, obviously, because it's across a bay. But you can see it. And then you see the wall in Tijuana, Mexico. And saw that and did it in right at 2,000 miles in 8 days.
So they have a wall in Tijuana?
Yes.
I didn't think those were allowed.
Yeah,
well, okay. especially in California.
Right. They're racist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, they have the wall, the big, beautiful wall.
So did you take photos?
Yes, there was a lot of pictures.
Well, I have an idea for you.
Okay.
Why don't you do a video? We have all the equipment.
Yeah,
a little video, and then you could write the script, and we could. And I'm actually looking at another piece of equipment for the deal here,
gentlemen. Okay. We have the technology.
We'll hit it. Yeah, so I think that'd be cool.
We'll do it. I'll do a podcast
premiere.
About it too.
Yeah, well, okay. Or just make it a podcast. We could script. Yeah,
do a whole.
There's our project.
Right? Do a whole podcast about Trey's California trip.
I woke up in the morning. No, it's there was some really cool stuff. And I've told these guys, I understand why people want to live in California because there are some spectacularly beautiful places in California and things you just can't see anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to live there because of all the crazy bullshit.
Yeah.
I can't.
What was the cheapest and the most expensive
I paid was $6.05 for 8 gallons leading into the at Leggett. California, which right where the beginning where Highway 1 that runs right on the coast goes, you're on the 101, which is a U.S. 101, a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
But California Highway 1 gets off 101, and it's right on the coast. It's unbelievable. It's one of the most unbelievable drives you'll ever have. $6.05 a gallon, and was limited to 8 gallons. Right there, which was fine. I didn't want to pay put more than that in.
Wow!
And
the least so they're rationing gas.
That place. No, there, most places
why.
It wasn't.
Wonder why?
They're kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's.
Oh. Yeah.
But the least expensive gas, unfortunately, the least expensive gas I bought was on that same leg, and it was in Fort Bragg, California, which is on the one, and it was $4.99. So I paid. I take that back.
$4.99.
Yeah, $4.99.
You sent us a picture that was $4.59, or did you get gas?
No, $5.59.
$5.59.
Yeah, $5.59.
Oh, $5.59 a gallon.
Yeah, that was average. I averaged about five and a half, $5.50 a gallon. Now, $4.99 was the least expensive, and I went ahead and put gas in, but the problem was I wasn't out of gas. It wasn't a problem, but I mean,
I topped it off, took advantage of it.
But you don't know as you keep going.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, it kept looked like it was getting cheaper. I was like, okay, this is better. But then you get down closer to L.A. and it's back up again.
Yeah.
So,
I know. I've had several people have told me that that's been the case, you know, for a while now there, where the rest of the country was enjoying gas around $3 a gallon.
Or less.
Or less. It was, you know, two and a half times that price on the West Coast. It's nuts. It really is. It's making life very difficult for those people that have to live there. And I keep telling people, you know, California, and I nobody really seems to, at least not out loud, acknowledge this in California. The people that are leaving California are the people California can least afford to lose.
Oh, absolutely.
Because yeah. those are the people that are leaving are the ones who have the financial means to get
They're
out.
The taxpayers.
The taxpayers. Yeah.
These and are the business that, owners yeah. And that sort of thing. Yeah. Or the people that hire people.
See, that's what I'm trying to figure out is what are you going to do, California, or any, or Oregon or Washington, anybody on the West Coast, what are you guys going to do when you start losing more and more businesses? I mean, I don't care where you live in the United States of America, small business is the backbone of our economy. Most businesses in our country are small businesses. What are you going to do when you start losing more and more of those businesses?
Don't know.
Even corporations. Well, you look at some major retailers who started shutting down stores because of violence and theft and a lack of prosecution of the people committing the crimes. And it's wild, man. It really is. So
I will tell you one thing I did notice it on the I guess one of the dichotomies mm-hmm. on that trip. Now, like I literally drove from Canada to Mexico and I was on the coast as much as possible to be uh-huh. on the coast.
Right, right.
So didn't really get inland to the Inland Empire very much. It was mostly right on the coast. Uh-huh. Never saw more Volkswagen Bugs, the old style, not the new ones, in on a trip, and Teslas at the same time.
Wow.
There's quite a few old Volkswagen Beetles, about right. three of them, the buses, the old Volkswagen Beetle mm-hmm. buses, and probably a dozen old Volkswagen Beetles, not yeah. the new, like I said, the ones from the 60s and the 70s,
yeah.
and tons of Teslas.
Yeah.
Tons
oh, yeah.
of Teslas.
Well, yeah.
The Volkswagen Beetle, like, you know, from the late 40s through the 60s, the design didn't really change much, did it? They all had that kind of that little bubble
yeah,
looking.
Yeah, well, it was all that. And then there seemed to be a little change over time. Yeah. They were slightly smaller. Of course, do know that was a Nazi
regime. That was actually the number one selling car yeah. of all time was Volkswagen Beetle because it was the same vehicle.
Right.
Now, then they did the revamp. But I'm talking about the old school. But part of the reason was, especially in Northern California and Oregon and Washington State, there's a lot of old hippies.
Yeah.
And you drive by and you see this Beetle, and it's not some young kid driving it. It's some guy in his 70s with long hair or whatever driving the thing. So,
that was it. He's an old hippie. The Bellamy Brothers did a song about that.
There you go.
Old hippie. Anyway, well, guys, welcome to our podcast. It's brought to you from the MacTech Solutions Podcast Studios here in Wichita Falls, Texas. That's where we're recording this podcast. And brought to you by MacTech Solutions, 4020 Ray Road here in Wichita Falls, MacTech-Solutions.com, Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles at 401 North Scott, downtown Wichita Falls, EddieHill'sFunCycles.com, and Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop online at LPSweet.com. And also on Facebook as well. And
top-notch cookies, by the way.
Yes, we had those previous episode. Yeah, we got to get something else in here.
Yeah, I got to get you guys to try our chocolate meringue pie.
Chocolate meringue? Do y'all do coconut?
We do coconut
cream pie?
Coconut cream,
Terry's putting in orders right over
see?
Here.
See? Man. Terry, they do.
Go to Lollipop Sweet Shop and place an order.
the three,
but I got connections.
The three pies that are like universal, everybody loves. Pecan pie, which obviously is a big hit here in Texas, you know. Coconut cream and the chocolate meringue.
Okay.
Can I make a confession right here?
Yep.
I don't like pecan pie.
You don't like pecan pie?
I do not like
pecan pie. Are you a real Texan?
And that's another one of those things that makes me want to kick somebody in the nuts when they ask me that. I don't like catfish either. And I hear people go, you must not be a real Texan. I'm as real Texan as it comes.
yes, sir.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not big into catfish either. So.
I cook a lot of catfish with the Redneck Culinary Academy. Yeah. That's kind of our thing.
I
cook tons of catfish, but it's just not my, not my thing.
I am. I've killed a lot of catfish.
Got Bill's Catfish Cafe just across the border.
They're great.
That's good. It's good. Yeah. It's good.
I've been there. We took a day off years ago for anniversary.
Yeah. Went up there for the day.
Yeah. Oh, and here's a funny thing. They didn't take credit cards. I don't know if they do now. But then they didn't take credit cards.
You know, I don't know if they do or not.
Well, they didn't then, and this wasn't, it was probably 5, 6, 7 years ago. I don't remember. Before COVID. But we went up there, And we realized, oh, we have cards. And they go, oh, we don't take credit cards. I'm like, oh. And we really did not have any cash. And we didn't have our checkbook. And so they said, well, just send us, you know, send it to us. And I'm like, and they let us go. And so we sent them a check.
Yeah.
So they're real nice folks.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't make us wash dishes or anything.
Wow. Yeah, me, they'd have had me back there scrubbing toilets or something, I'm sure.
And bussing tables for a while. I don't know. Gosh. But no, they didn't. So
wow.
You look like somebody they could trust, I guess. You've got that face. You've got that trustworthy. You look like an honest man.
There you go. I'll
try.
April 27th and 28th, the Guardians of Freedom Open House and Air Show is coming to Shepherd Air Force Base. First air show we've had at Shepherd in
a long time, yes.
The U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, everyone knows who they are. They're going to be there. Wings of Blue, the Golden Knights, the F-35 demonstration team. I'm sure there will be lots of static displays that you can go and look at. Aircraft you can climb. I know they, in past air shows, they've had a couple of World War II era aircraft out there, and I can't tell you which one it was. I climbed up in one at the last air show. Was everybody in the 1940s like 5'4" and 130 pounds?
Oh, yeah. There's some of those that is tiny.
Well, you didn't want to be a gunner.
I'm like this.
You didn't want to be a gunner on the B-47?
Can you imagine being the ball turret gunner?
Yeah, the ball turret gunner. I have seen. First of all, I guarantee you, within 5 minutes inside that ball turret, I get a cramp, and I'm kicking a window.
You couldn't fit in the ball turret. I mean, no, honestly, I'm not being small. You're got to be not only small but short.
Yeah,
yeah. The ball turret gunners were generally the smallest guys on the aircraft,
and some of the most vulnerable too.
Oh, they were absolutely.
Well, you had to get in from the outside, apparently.
Uh huh.
And so if there was an emergency landing where no gear up landing.
There were several of them who got killed.
Yeah.
They were just. Well, they're going
to pick you up with a stick and a spoon.
Even the Flying Fortresses, you got to the ball turret from the inside. But there were times that things were jammed. And you just couldn't.
Okay.
You couldn't.
Oh, so you could get in from. Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you had to be.
Yeah.
Okay. This one that I was in, it didn't have a ball turret, but it was just a combat aircraft. I just can't remember what it was. And because it had guns on it, so obviously it's a combat aircraft, but it was everything was so tight in there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they allowed you to go up to the cockpit and, you know, and sit in the pilot or co-pilot. I couldn't sit down.
Yeah.
There was no leg room. I mean, there's no way I couldn't turn my body to get myself into the seat.
Anybody complains about Frontier Airlines, they need to go try that.
Exactly. Exactly. Try to squeeze your butt into a World War II aircraft.
Yeah.
It's like, I swear to God, everybody had to be short and under 140 pounds to be able to even get in these things.
Wow.
Everybody had to be small dudes. Cause we're all tall, big guys.
I'm 6 foot tall, and I'm the short one of the three of us.
And there's no way I could get in there. There was no way. And you know, at that point, I probably weighed 270 pounds at that point. It's like the plane wouldn't be able to take off of me in here. You know, it's like I'd weigh it down. But anyway, May 3rd to May 12th, the big Wichita Falls Fair at the MPEC, Monday through Friday, 5 to 10, Saturday 1 to 11. They're going to have state fair type rides and food. Point of order here. This is not the Texas-Oklahoma Fair. This is a totally separate event. Of course, the TO Fair is the big Founder Lions Club Fair that happens here in September.
You can always remember when the TO Fair is because 1 year the opening night was
9/11.
Yeah, September 11th.
Yeah, yeah. And so 9/11/2001 was going to be opening night of the TO Fair, and they went ahead and opened because everybody was there, everybody was set up. There was really, there was nothing else to do, and like nine people showed up.
But it does show the resiliency, though, because by the end of the week.
Oh, they were packed.
The things picked up. People saw what happened, mourn. But then go, okay, we got to get on with our lives.
People, by the end of that week, people were ready for something else.
Yeah.
People needed it. They needed the I don't know if you want to call it a release.
It's almost like a pop-off valve.
Yeah.
On a turbocharger system or something like that. Yeah, they need a relief,
yeah.
Yeah, a relief valve. You get that that pressure builds up and something's got to pop. Yeah. And that's why they have that on turbochargers and things like that. You build up in pressure, and if you don't have that relief valve, it could explode.
But I'll tell you what, though, probably the highest law enforcement presence we've ever had at a fair.
Yeah.
Was that week? I mean, when I tell you police everywhere, they were everywhere.
Right.
They really were. But that's coming up May 3rd through May 12th.
And it looks like some sort of it must be a commercial thing. But
yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. So, but it's coming into town. They've got a bubble. This called the Foam Zone. Bubbly paradise where kids and the young at heart dive into mountains of safe, eco-friendly.
It's not
toxic, okay? Foam. Don't miss out on the fluffiest fun of the season. It's a can't-miss addition to your family's fair day out.
I still I think the funniest thing is they call it the fair when really the games are rigged.
Yeah, not really.
It's the most unfair place in the world, and they call it the fair.
It's just
go to Midway.
It's
enjoyable.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Impact, right? Is that
I literally have. I've never won anything I've played all those fair games. I've never won
an animal or anything.
I've never won anything.
Wow.
Well, never, I never won a thing.
Play anymore, do you?
No, I don't. I go right to the funnel cake, and that's it. Go straight for the food. Done. That's it.
All right.
Right to the food, man.
And the turkey legs.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So a couple big things to talk about here. Tensions rising in the Middle East. Iran made a direct attack on Israel. The last report I saw on this, there were something like 300 missiles and drones that were launched at Israel. Israel says they repelled well over 95% of it.
Well, Israel and the coalition forces, because
they had
Americans and the British and the French that were up there, and they were shooting them down with airplanes.
Yeah.
So some of the drones they were actually shooting down with airplanes.
There, Israel has this defense system called Iron Dome.
Yes.
That is meant to. It's basically a missile interception system is what it is, and I'm sure they employed Iron Dome for some of that. But
they also have something called the Sling of David, hearkening back to the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I heard somebody refer to the Sling of David.
I'm going
to
tell you right now, Israel, and I have described Israel this way before. Imagine you live in the middle of a block, and every neighbor around you wants to kill you.
Yes.
And every time you try to leave your house, someone's trying to kill you. That's what living in Israel is like.
Yeah, and not only kind of want to kill you, some of them really want to kill you.
Well, look at what happened 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Look at that attack and what's going on right now with this attack from Iran. I did see something that sort of indicated that the Biden administration had, at least in a roundabout fashion, given a nod to the attack, the Iranian attack on Israel. That they had
I heard that
well,
one.
I basically by, I guess I don't by virtue of not warning them, or I don't know what exactly it was all about.
Inaction
or something.
What I heard was, and I don't know for sure, but what I heard was that Israel told everybody, this is what we're doing.
Yeah,
and that's one reason why. I mean, there were no casualties. They shot 300 missiles and drones
and stuff, and
I think
no
there's we killed nobody, and I think there's one person got injured, seriously injured, which is none of it's good.
No.
But apparently this was a face saving act in Iran for the people for the Iranian government to support their base in Iran.
Yeah.
We reacted because the Israelis killed the Iranian a general, I believe, from Iran in a week or
so,
a couple
some
weeks
commander
ago.
Or something. Yeah.
And this was a response to that. But basically the response was, all right, we're going to drop a bunch of ordnance and stuff like that, but we're going to tell you exactly where we're dropping and exactly when we're going to drop it.
Mm. So that could be also a little bit of a,
wow.
By allowing them to save face in any way,
just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think it's almost funny that back in 2020, you know, part of the campaign against Donald Trump was, oh, this guy is crazy. He's going to get us into World War III.
Yeah.
Take a look at where we are right now. And who's in charge?
No,
Well, we don't know who's in charge.
That's part of the problem.
We know who is supposed to be in charge.
We know who the figurehead is, at least.
Yes.
But who's really pulling the strings here?
Well,
because it's not Joe Biden.
As so much of what was portrayed as dangerous and all that under Trump's administration was just showing strength in his style. You know,
right.
he likes. Some might say it's poking the bear, but no, he was willing to stand behind everything. He had the support of the military. He had all of this that Biden does not have. Biden is trying to kowtow to all the different things that, you know, the people.
Especially the factions, the little small factions in his party.
And we're trying to protect everybody's feelings and all sides. Well, and
I still have not gotten over Afghanistan.
That's a whole nother.
Not only did we surrender those people to a large group of thug terrorists, and look at what's happening, especially with women right now.
Brought back stoning, by the way.
Oh yeah, they're stoning seriously. Women to death, literally, in Afghanistan again, and then not only that, but we left billions of dollars in military hardware on the ground.
Yeah,
was this an effort? Not to get onto the Afghanistan thing, but was this an effort on his part to say, I finished the job? Is that what he...
I don't know.
Because, you know, we know that Trump got out of Afghanistan, right?
Yes. I think we all did. Really, I think it was time to get out.
Bring our shit home.
Let's don't leave billions of dollars in military hardware on the ground, and let's don't surrender these people back to a group of terrorists that are going to, again, drag this country back into the Stone
Age. Left a void.
Literally.
Yeah, well, and I've said for years, we should not have left our base here. We should keep a base in Afghanistan. We don't need to fight wars in Afghanistan.
No.
We let whatever happens on the outside of those walls happen, I guess.
Have a presence there.
Yeah, but we should have kept our base there because we need to be flying missions around there looking for terrorist camps. And we need to tell Afghanistan and Iraq and Pakistan and anything that ends in a stan that, look, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to mess with you, but we're going to fly around, and if we see terrorist camps or things that we think are terrorist camps, we're going to destroy them, and we're not going to ask your permission.
Right, and I think
we're going to tell you we did it.
And we mentioned 9/11 a minute ago. You go all the way back to that. The only way that you could ever really effectively deal with terrorists is you kill them.
Yeah, because there's no
compromise
on their part.
No, you can't negotiate.
You can't. In order for a negotiation to happen, you have to have two willing parties. You can't negotiate with people whose mindset is one of death, destruction, period. That's it. That's all they're focused on is death and destruction, and they don't care about anything else. And in their mind, they're martyring themselves, and you know they get some sort of glory for murdering you and your family.
One of the most famous lines that Winston Churchill uttered was, you cannot negotiate, and he was talking about Hitler, you cannot negotiate with a lion when he's got your head in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Moving on here, another big story that has happened since last we met, O.J. Simpson died.
Oh, yes.
The juice has been squeezed. Oh, God. By the way, I just came up with that one. That's actually not too bad, was it?
That's pretty good. I'm trying, hang on here. Trying to get a tear. I can't. Yeah. No, can't do it.
You're biting your tongue.
I can't squeeze one out. O.J. Simpson dies, and everybody's kind of like, you know, was it Ron Goldman's dad? I think he said, you know, no big loss to the world.
Yeah.
But the White House gave their condolences.
Yeah. Did you? Karine Jean-Pierre, she was up there, and she gave her. She said the White House would like to extend our condolences to the family of O.J. Simpson and everything else. And it's like,
Really? Why did you even feel a need to acknowledge it?
That's what I'm saying. ESPN didn't talk about it. I mean, as liberal as ESPN is now, they might have. I say that. I didn't watch coverage. Well, but I didn't hear a lot of stuff about O.J. Simpson dying. Had O.J. Simpson been O.J. Simpson pre-killing Nicole and Goldman, it would have been wall-to-wall coverage for 2 or 3 days that O.J. Simpson died.
Yeah,
everybody loved O.J. Simpson.
It would have been like Elvis dying.
Exactly. It would have been huge like that. But it was a really small blip. It wasn't front page news that I saw when I.
And I've read a lot of stories about it in the last couple of days. Look, I get it. He was acquitted. A jury of his peers said he didn't do it.
You must, if the glove don't fit,
you must acquit. Johnny Cochran's famous, and that moment is often cited as the deciding factor for the jury.
Yeah, exactly.
He couldn't get the glove on. Oh, well, if it didn't fit his hand. Yeah. Oh.
Well, yeah. Leather shrinks when it's bloody.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. And gets wet. And so.
And there was a little theatrics on that. You know, and don't know, O.J. Simpson has arthritis as well. I don't know if they tied his wrist off knowing that was going to happen. If they puffed up his hand a little bit, you know, gave him a little bit of injection. I don't know what all happened. But the theatrics of the I can't put it on.
So that is often cited as the moment that won him the acquittal. But I think there just seems to be a general consensus among the public that it's highly unlikely that anyone else did. It was a violent murder. Nicole was nearly decapitated in that attack. It was a gruesome scene. It was clearly the person that murdered Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman had an intense amount of rage.
Yeah. This wasn't a...
And was big enough and strong enough to take on two people. You say, one's a woman and Ron Goldman wasn't a big dude. It doesn't matter.
There's still two people.
There's still two people.
Yeah.
You know, there's still two people. And if it was a random, you know, just out of the blue attack, you would think there'd be some screaming, there would be something.
Well, nothing got stolen either.
It wasn't a robbery.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and they were, as I recall, they were dead for several hours before anyone found the bodies.
Right.
And by the way, I think I'm remembering correctly, someone was like walking their dog or something.
I think that's right.
And saw the blood running down the driveway.
Yeah. By the way, he was found guilty in the civil trial.
Yes.
So he was found responsible.
Liable,
responsible that he did it. That he did it. It was just a civil trial, and there's a difference of proof of evidence.
Oh yeah.
Well, in a civil trial, it's a preponderance of the evidence.
Yeah.
You know, basically, if they can demonstrate that you were, I think the rule is 51% responsible or greater.
Right.
You know, if there's a, you know, you bore a 51% or greater responsibility, then you are held liable in a civil proceeding. And that's what they did. They found him basically financially liable for the killings.
Which they said he did it. I mean, that's what they're saying.
Yes.
By the way, where did you guys learn the preponderance of evidence? Do you know where you learned that term and what it meant?
Actually,
Judge Wapner.
Yep, Doug Llewellyn.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I learned I never heard the word preponderance of evidence.
Yeah.
But I watched Judge Wapner, the original People's Court, and Doug Llewellyn talk about it.
That's where I probably first heard it too, and then it popped up again. I took a college a business law class.
Yeah.
Years and years and years ago, and one of the things we get into in that course is torts.
Yeah.
You know, insurance stuff. And they talk
about
liabilities and all that. But yeah, O.J. Simpson dies and you know, it's probably we've probably given him more coverage here than we should have.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I just thought it was ironic that the White House gave their condolences.
That's really, really weird.
Caitlyn Jenner may have summed it up here on X, formerly known as Twitter. Good riddance.
Formerly known as Bruce Jenner as well.
Well, that, yeah.
two formers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good riddance Hashtag OJ Simpson. That was a
there we go.
He, she.
And you know, I feel really bad for is his children.
Yes.
They have to live with the stigma legacy. Of this.
Yeah, a negative legacy.
For the rest of their lives. I mean, they just
stigma's a good word.
Yeah, it is. It makes it they'll spend the rest of their lives answering questions and being, you know, looked at kind of funny.
And having questions.
And having questions, yes. Yeah. But it's, I think, more, you know, probably more to the point, it's what they have to endure from other people. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They're not guilty of anything in this. They didn't. You know, they were children, literally, when this happened.
They were young. Yeah.
And now, as adults, you know, they gotta deal with that.
Yeah. Well, isn't it interesting? You've got like O.J. Simpson, and it was well thought of. Mm-hmm. Athlete and
actor.
Broadcaster, actor, all of this stuff. I don't know how good an actor he was, but
he was making money.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was entertaining people, yeah. and apparently well thought of. And then suddenly this happens. Well, then we have Bill Cosby, kind of same thing. Great, well thought of, and then find out what he's done. So isn't that sad that we? Because that's what happens: is these people are built up, and they're human, first of all,
right.
And they're not built. They shouldn't be built up, put up on this pedestal. But when they are, but they also hide a lot of stuff. Then it's sad when we find out.
You know, we grew up with Cosby on TV.
Oh yeah,
the original
on PBS Sesame Street and whatever.
Well, also, he was Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, had the original Bill Cosby show. Mm-hmm. I Spy with Robert Culp. And then, you know, of course, you know, Fat Albert, the animated series.
Hey,
you know?
It's Fat Albert.
Yeah.
You do that well. Yeah.
And we grew up with Bill Cosby. And then, of course, you know, the Cosby Show in the 80s, you know, he's America's dad and all this. And again, I feel really bad for the kids that grew up in that show, that starred on that show. Yeah. Their legacy was cemented in that program.
Yeah.
One of the most popular television programs ever.
History, yep.
And now is there a cable network that will even touch a rerun of that show now?
I don't know.
I haven't seen one now in years.
Yeah. Well.
It's sad, man. It's sad. And I feel bad for them. I do. I know they've all went on to have successful careers in other ways, but, you know, that's where your legacy originally was cemented in that.
Yeah.
And it may never be seen again. It's really, really sad, you know, because of the actions of one person. Yeah. Anyway.
We're done with our time there.
We're going to wrap it up here.
I mean, there's really, I was just thinking about that last item because that's really, there's not much happening yet.
Oh, the Donald.
Just briefly.
The Donald Trump felony trial for misuse of business funds. Yeah.
He just started yesterday.
Yes.
And
yes.
They're picking the jurors. And I was listening to a radio program that's out of Dallas this morning on the way in, and they were talking about how the interviews of these jurors was going, and they basically were asking them, hey, can you give this guy a fair trial? And a whole bunch of them actually said, no, I can't.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool that you know, we can maybe trust, at least they, I mean, I think it was on both sides because you got people who liked him and people who didn't like him. And so now about 50 out of the 90, I think, were eliminated right off the bat.
They were already eliminated.
And so now they're going through questions about, or maybe even yesterday, they were asking them about, you know, how did you feel during the time that Trump was in? And so they're trying to. I'm hopeful that they'll get a good.
I don't know how you give a guy like, first of all, just based on the fact of who he is, he was the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, outside of Ronald Reagan, probably one of the most celebrity presidents we've ever had.
Yeah.
Reagan was an actor for many years before he became governor of California.
Right. I think, you know, I will say even more than Ronald Reagan because Ronald Reagan had been an actor, but by the time he became president, his acting days were pretty far behind him.
Right.
Whereas Trump's acting days were he was in the media. I mean, he still had a show running on NBC.
He did, and the other thing with Trump too is during his celebrity era, he also had the benefit, or if you want to, or you may look at it maybe as a non-benefit, of having social media.
Yeah, it's totally
you know,
different.
Your image is broadcast in multiple forums. Where, you know, with Reagan, he was a film star.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, people had to, you had to go to a movie theater to see Ronald Reagan. You know, that's the only way you could see him. But with Trump, he literally, his image is everywhere. Yeah. His image and his brand is being disseminated across multiple platforms to literally hundreds of millions of people.
But look who's promoting inadvertently all of this attention. Mm-hmm. If they'd have just left him alone, I don't know that he would have been nominated. If they just not had all these trials and everything, just let him finish, let him lose, you know, if you accept you know, I guess we have to accept. But anyway, but now they've kept him in the news.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there they've such actually emboldened his supporters.
Yeah. So much of this is just rooted in personal vendetta and hatred.
It's backfired on him.
And it has backfired in a bad way. So, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Get It Right Tech Soma. You can find us, of course, obviously you're watching. You know we're on YouTube, but we are on YouTube. Also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and where else now as well?
iHeart. We're on the big three anyway. I think those are the big three.
The big three.
YouTube is certainly. But yeah, please share this and get it. Help us build our following and please provide feedback.
Yeah.
Because exactly. We need that, because we, you know, we're up here giving you our thoughts, which we are going to do anyway, but we would also like to incorporate any thoughts and improvements or ideas or whatever.
Let us know what you think. I mean, you know, do we need to shave closer? What do we need to do? Whatever, obviously you can leave us comments on our Facebook page.
Yes.
You can reach us in various ways, but do share and do comment and like us if you feel the need, please. Yes. We like to be liked.
There you go.
We have feelings too, you know. Anyway, until next time, guys, take care. We'll see you down the road.